else. The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or get us on The Blitz Facebook page. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is The Real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch on Twitch. Comment there. Miss the first hour, all Texans. Joining us now, as he does every Monday, you can hear him in the mornings on the bench, as I often do. Lance Zierlein, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Are you here in the building?
No, I had to go get my shoulder worked on, physical therapy today.
How's that doing?
Slow and painful.
Does your shoulder prevent you from holding onto your keys in the parking lot?
Wait, what do you mean in the parking lot?
Yeah, a fine, upstanding fellow found your keys outside and brought them
to me. Is that when you gave them to me? Is because somebody found them outside?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Do you know that my car was moved?
Yes, I moved it.
I figured you did. I was like, holy, I want to say something else, but I guess I'll say it myself. But I was like, what the hell, AJ moved my car? I'm honking the, you know, the like honking the horn to start the car or whatever, and I'm like, wait a minute, I parked out here because I went in with Dell today.
Oh yeah, and when you right around, I guess it was right around the time you were getting off the air, a guy came up and was like, "Hey, I found these in the parking lot. I'm pretty sure they're Lance Zierlein's. I made the horn honk, the alarm honk, and I guess you've got some paperwork in your dash with your name on it." And he was
Holy
like,
crap.
So, yeah, so I brought him up here and I was like, oh, okay. And then I thought I'd jack with you and move your car a little bit.
You're such a child. Thank God.
I figured it was you until you said some guy found the car. And I was like, what if the guy took off with my car for a while?
That would have been so
great. That would have been awesome.
I blew it there. I should have said, yeah. What do you mean I moved your car? No.
Don't tell John or Dell. I don't need them knowing this.
I'm pretty sure they already know.
Oh my God! That's just—I don't want my wife to know.
Okay, I won't.
You
should have
gone a full Ferris Bueller.
Left my phone in a cab in Cuba. I left my phone.
Didn't you leave your iPad or something like that in a that you needed for the NFL Network?
Oh yeah, I left iPad. I just left iPad in Key West and United. I've left my suits in a bag in the year Johnny Manziel got drafted, 2014. I left them in the airplane and forgot them. Had to go up there at midnight and get them from LaGuardia.
Where's your entry key card for the building?
It's in my wallet, which I forgot to bring today.
Oh, okay.
All this stuff went haywire.
Okay, Dell told me you had lost it, so I just
No, I didn't lose it. Someone stole it from me.
Oh.
I told him somebody stole it.
Okay. A lot of
He's
people
like, no one stole it.
They're credit cards. Like our entry cards also you can buy stuff on them, so I can understand why they would steal that.
Hey, exactly.
We've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about, namely the Texans offense in the second half. I mean, it seems like they've got it all figured out now, right?
Look good.
Listen, this is Deshaun looked good in the first half, and if he would have been able to play a full game like that, maybe we could have said, hey, Deshaun's on to something here. The second half, Deshaun was awful. And one of the things Fred and I talked about, something that could maybe get things going a little bit, would be throw in a designed run or two for Deshaun. Like, do we remember that when he was having success, he was taken off? And really, the only run, he had a one run for 5 yards, and it was basically on a scramble where he's looking around for somebody to pass to and couldn't find anybody. Like, why aren't they opening up the offense that way for Deshaun? And if they're not, why isn't Deshaun just deciding to break out earlier and make something happen with his legs?
you know, we John and I talked about that a lot this morning, and you know, I think his whole thing is once he breaks contain, take off running. As far as I'm concerned, I want to see him. The first thing I want to see him do is keep his eyes down the field. I don't want to see him drop his eyes and take off running because that's a sign of a young quarterback. I want him to. I want his game to mature and do what he did in the first half, which is break contain, keep his eyes down the field, and then make plays. You know, make plays with his arm once he's outside the pocket. Because once you're outside the pocket, it starts to stress the corners, linebackers, and safeties who are in coverage because they start to have their eyes on you and not the guy they're guarding. So, you know, I'd like to see him do what I saw him do in the first half. However, you know, John, I think, would like to see him just take off running more. But you know what? The idea of the it, provided he gets down and doesn't take the big hits, when Deshaun runs on called runs or zone reads, I feel like it really does get him involved in the game more. I don't know what it is. It's almost like, you know how it is, AJ, when you hear about boxers or fighters who talk about they need to get tagged once so they feel like they're in the fight, kind of wakes them up to the fight a little bit. I almost feel like Deshaun needs to run and get some plays going to where he just gains his confidence, whether it's quick passing game or a called run where he gets 4 or 5 yards and, you know, gets hit a little bit, but nothing big, and it just feels like he gets into the game that way. I really wouldn't have a problem with that. I do wonder if the Texans now realize how badly they will do if Deshaun gets hurt, and so Bill O'Brien is kind of guarding against, you know, against any potential for him to completely get worn out now that he is the head coach and general manager. I do wonder every once in a while if that plays into his thinking with, you know, being more selective and more careful with Deshaun Watson, because he knows he's in big trouble if anything happens to Watson.
Man, so one of the things that bothers me, where are the screen passes in this against the blitz? And why do they have so many 10-step drops with three receivers all running deep and no safety valves? I mean, there are just some scheme issues here that would certainly, I mean, just a little 4 or 5 yard play every now and then makes a difference.
Yeah, it's funny, Fells, I don't think he had a catch yesterday, and he's one of those big bodies over the middle that they usually like to work to from time to time. I know Akins, he looked at him, but there wasn't a lot. I mean, let's be honest here. You had Will Fuller with the touchdown. You had Randall Cobb with a touchdown. And Randall actually had a couple of catches. Cooks had something going in the first half. He had a couple of catches, and then he just completely disappeared. I do think, and I know, I don't think John necessarily buys into this as much. I think this offense will be a whole lot better when Duke Johnson gets back. And I'll tell you why. I think Duke is a better route runner than David Johnson. I think he can be a factor in the screen game. And I think he has more juice than David Johnson from a running standpoint. Now, listen, Minnesota's not very good defensively, so you better, you know, you really have to put up in the high 20s against Minnesota. And it probably wouldn't hurt for you to get into the 30s because Minnesota's defense just isn't very good. Problem's going to be if Dalvin Cook is ready to roll, this is going to be a problem. The NFL sends notes, research notes out to us after the game. The Texans are averaging, they allow over 160 yards per game on the ground, 3 straight games with rushers over 100. But they're allowing 119 yards rushing per game in the second half. If that were to hold up over the course of the year where they allowed 100-plus, it would be the first time since 2000 that a team allowed over 100 yards rushing per game in a single half for the course of a year. So they're on pace for something not very good. I can tell you that.
Well, and then is Duke Johnson really going to fix everything?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they threw screens to him last year.
No, I don't think he's going to fix everything, but he is a leak out option. I think he is a little better runner. I think Duke Johnson can help the offense a little bit. I'm not talking about a lot. I mean, I think he can help the running game a little, give them another option. They clearly aren't comfortable going to C.J. ProSize. They're not comfortable with him at all. I just think getting David Johnson off the field a little bit might be a good thing.
I think he's been on the field for like 106 out of 108 snaps or something like that. Like, it's a ridiculous usage rate. And the only guys in that category that are like above 80% usage are Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott. One of these things is not like the other. Like, there's no way David Johnson should be on the field as much as he is. I would honestly, no. I'd rather them go empty backfield than have him out there most of the time.
Well, how about this? I just looked this up today. The two players that you got in the DeAndre Hopkins trade, David Johnson, and then with the second rounder, you got Brandon Cooks. If you add their total yardage together, they're still less than D-Hop. Two players, one who you just mentioned plays damn near every snap and is a pass catcher and a runner, and they still don't equal DeAndre Hopkins for the year in terms of total yards.
Is it possible now without DeAndre Hopkins that – because I thought everyone who said they'd be better with him being able to spread the ball around, I thought that was the dumbest take I've ever heard. I can't imagine taking away a guy's best player and somehow that's going to make him better. Is it possible now that we've seen the best we'll ever see of Deshaun Watson because he's lost that player that was so special?
I mean, it's possible. It's certainly possible. I think, you know, the people who thought what it could do is it could force him to learn to spread the ball around, which might be a good thing ultimately for him. To think it was going to be beneficial to lose DeAndre Hopkins, and then who's the guys you plug in? Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, and then
Kenny
you still
Stills.
Have injury-prone Will Fuller, and then Kenny Stills, who's just a guy. I mean, that never made sense to me. He was always a safety blanket quarterback anyway. He was a guy who, and a lot of times this happens when a young quarterback has a really good wide receiver, they fall in love with that wide receiver, Matt Stafford with Megatron, for example, and that's all they go to, just feed them. And then they really struggle, and it took Matt Stafford a while once he lost Megatron to really figure out, and it's not like they win games, but, you know, to figure out, hey, Kenny Galladay is pretty good too. Hey, Marvin Jones is a pretty good option. Right now, the Texans don't have Marvin Jones or Kenny Galladay. They don't really have that, so I never thought it was going to be good for Deshaun Watson to lose the guy that he targets the most because that was going to mean that he was going to have to rely on other guys. And that's not where he is in his career. It takes a lot longer to be a guy who seeks out the matchup and not the player. And he seeks out the player and not the matchup. And I think that's, you know, until he gets to where he can seek out the matchup, and that's really understanding pre-snap and, you know, where he wants to go at the football, I think he's going to keep having these ups and downs but it's only going to be more pronounced because he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore.
Just in case you're curious, Vikings +3.5 next week.
Yeah, I saw that. I've watched the Vikings. I saw the Vikings against the Colts. I watched most of the Vikings game yesterday. Justin Jefferson has to scare you a little bit. First two games, he does nothing. And then yesterday, he goes completely bananas. We know Thielen can play. B.C. Johnson is a pretty good third option at wide receiver. I mean, you know, Dalvin Cook is really the scary one there. It's just their defense is just not good. The Texans should – what's the total on that one, Fred? Is it round 50?
Hang on, I'll have to get it for you. But while I'm looking – 54, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know
that's
what?
Still a little high.
And one of the other things Fred and I had talked about, the offensive line that everyone seemed to think was going to be a strength coming into this season.
Yeah.
And Laremy Tunsil looked pretty solid yesterday, and for the most part, he's been solid. I've seen some good Titus Howard and some not as good Titus Howard, but the inside of this line just looks terrible. And Deshaun Watson's currently on pace to be sacked 69 times in the season. 69, which is that's just an insane number to me, but that's what he's on pace for. Do you see this getting better, or do you think they're just playing poorly right now, or are we going to have to, like, totally reset and have them build this offensive line from scratch, you know, around Laremy Tunsil?
Well, they face off against some pretty salty pass rushers, including, you know, Chris Jones on the interior, where he just completely destroyed Zach Fulton. I think it's going to get better. I think you'll see it a lot better this week against a little bit of a lesser rush, although Hunter's, you know, obviously pretty good. But I think it's going to be okay. I think actually Tunsil's played pretty well, especially in pass protection. Howard stunk in game one, was much better in game two, was really good in the first half yesterday, and was just okay in the second half. Darren Fells has been a problem as a pass blocker at tight end. you may remember Tyrann Mathieu beat Fells for the play that became an interception. Fells got beat again yesterday. Zach Fulton, Nick Martin are below average. And then, you know, I got to find out what's going on with Max Sharping, because Max Sharping, one of the strengths for Max Sharping was pass protection. And I thought he was really good in pass protection last year, but he's losing some time to Senio Kelamete. So I don't know if there's an injury going on.
No, Bill O'Brien said Kelamete's good in practice and he likes to reward those guys.
Okay, well, then that just means Max isn't playing well.
Yeah.
That just means Max isn't playing well, because if Max is a good pass protector, Senio would be getting action on the right side. Now, Zach Fulton is a good run blocker, not a good pass blocker. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if Zach Fulton stays starter the whole year, because if this keeps being a leaky offensive line in the interior, they're going to have to do something to make some changes. And I can tell you, Senio Kelamete is not the answer.
But at this point, can you take a good run blocker off the field to put in a good pass blocker when you've got no push on running plays?
It's not like you did a good job yesterday.
Yeah. What's it going to be? You got to be a running team or passing team? The Texans don't know. I don't know what the Texans' philosophy is. They don't stop the run. They don't establish a run. There's not many teams that can be good who don't run it well and don't stop the run well. It's hard to be a good team when you are weak in the trenches. It's every good team will tell you, look at how Bill Belichick builds teams. Look at how Ozzie Newsome has built teams. If you want to just look at those two, build the trenches. You build from inside out, and that's how you build the old Dallas Cowboys teams that made their big runs. You build in the trenches, and then from there, you know, you go worry about your perimeters. Well, you know, the Texans have a bunch of money at quarterback, a bunch of money at left tackle, but they also have spread out a bunch of money at wide receiver. They got an expensive an expensive running back. And I will say, you know, they have put draft capital into the left guard, into the center, into the right tackle. I mean, they have tried to build the trenches, but it's not there yet. In the defensive line, Omenihu has done some things here and there. J.J.'s just not been a big factor against the run. When is J.J. making – I just don't see him make plays against the run much anymore. He'll flash from time to time and whip a guy and beat him, but I don't see him being that dominant factor on the interior against the run much anymore.
Based – and you know, there's always a possibility that he could be hurt, but if Dalvin Cook is healthy on Sunday, did the Texans even have a chance? Because the way he ran this last week against the Titans – who I think are a better run defense than the Texans. He ran for over eight yards per carry against. I think the Texans are in real trouble unless Dalvin is banged up. But he came into the game again late after he'd sat out for a while. I feel like he's going to be good. That scares me for the Texans.
Yeah, I would say I think it could be a shootout just because, you know, they're young in the secondary and they're not very good right now in terms of their coverage and They don't do a good job of stopping the run. I mean, they really are not good.
They're terrible in the trenches on both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like the Texans.
And that kind of benefits the Texans there because they don't have as much to worry about. So, you know, if the Texans are 0-3 against the number, there's five teams that are 0-3 against the number. One of them is a 3-0 Tennessee team, but it's the Texans, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Titans. And I'm trying to remember who the other 0-3 team is right now, but I kind of like the Texans this week.
I think it's the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets. That's who it is. Worst team in football. You know, I'm thinking it's a 6 or 7 point win for the Texans this week. I kind of like the Texans in this one.
If they lose this game, is the sky falling at that point? Because it's easy to say, okay, Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers. These are really good teams. And by the way, they're probably having the same conversation right now in Minnesota, because Minnesota's like, well, the teams we lost to are 8-1. You know, they're pretty damn good teams, which is exactly what the Texans are going to be.
I mean, if you win the next two against Minnesota and Jacksonville, you'll be favored in both of them. Then you go into week 6 going 2-3. It's kind of what we expected. We were favored in two. We won both those. We were dogs in three of them. We lost all three of those against good teams. So I think you get your swagger back maybe a little bit, although I still think your holes are your holes, so it doesn't matter what your swagger is. But if you lose one of the next two and you start off 1-4, that's a big concern. That's a big concern because next you're looking at Tennessee, and if you go into break 1-6, I can tell you most coaches would be on the hot seat there. I don't think Bill O'Brien will be, but you went in 1-6. Boy, this city is really not going to be happy.
All right, Lance, tell the people about Texas Star Grill Shop.
Yeah, you know, the fall sale is going on, and I was out just this weekend doing a little grilling. I'm going to go out and do some pork chops here in a second. Pork chops, you want to do chicken, you want to do slow and low. I did beef ribs this weekend. Pork ribs are fantastic. Briskets, you can do anything and everything. A lot of people do pizzas in their grills. Whether you want wood pellet grills like Pits and Spits, Traeger, maybe you're looking for Green Mountain, any of the above. John's looking at a brand new gas grill out there. They've got Weber, DSC. They've got pizza ovens they can do. The great thing is the experts there, when you go in, they can help you pick the right grill for you based on what are your needs and what you're used to and what you're looking for. And so you don't have to be intimidated about it. It is your one-stop shop for every barbecue need, and they've got three locations with a fourth one getting ready to open up. Go to Texas Star Grill Shop, look at everything they have online, and find a location nearest you, and take advantage of the fall sale, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Have everyone's attention.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
This fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. I love the Aged, which is an aging kit for your favorite booze. They've got something for everybody, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month, no matter what you're into. Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. I'm looking forward to the flip of a gorgeous folding knife made from Damascus steel. To get started, take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com. Enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. Hey, let's squeeze on one quick call, and then we'll get to the other games, because there's a lot to talk about. And I want to get to the college games in the 6 o'clock hour,
all
too,
right,
because that was pretty awesome. William, go ahead.
Hey, guys, just happy to get a phone call in. I just wanted to say, after the Texans blew that 24-0 lead January, we canceled our season tickets. We were done with it. We were done with the Bill O'Brien show. We were done. And I just got an alert saying they were going to allow 13,000 fans in this weekend. And, I don't know what all these fans are going to expect. I mean, you expect booing off the gate. I mean, who knows what's going to happen there. But I just want to know y'all's thoughts on that and what's going to go on.
I'll say this, William. I don't know if there's only 13,000 seats available. You know who's going to be there? Debbie the Texan lady. The guy, people dressed up in like costume. These are the hardest of the hardcores who will never, ever boo.
There'll always be a few. You know, I'm sure You Suck Too guy will be there.
That was a Broncos fan.
But
everybody knows that.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet money if they go out and suck in the first half, you will hear some boos. Not a lot, but you will hear some.
If they get all 13,000, probably around, what, 250?
I'd say 412. I'll set that as the over-under. How's that? All right, let's go through the rest of the games, because it was an interesting weekend. And we'll start with the Bears-Falcons, which, once again, The Falcons got a falcon it, and I don't like the term falconing it, because that makes me look bad.
It does.
Thank you, Falcons.
They had that name before you. I mean, that you named yourself after them.
I did not name myself after them. I did not pick that. Nick Foles comes off the bench.
You use it still. You could get away from it.
I could.
Now would be a perfect time, honestly.
It might be. It might be time for me to rally. It might be time for me to rally with something else. But this team just is... they're worse than the Texans. Because I don't know if they're worse, because they at least get leads. But they... I mean, that's twice in a row where you have no excuse losing that game. And...
My favorite thing that came out of this game is Mitch Trubisky saying that having his starting job taken away from him came out of nowhere. Really? They didn't pick up your fifth-year option. They traded for a high-priced veteran backup. You stink. And I can't believe it.
Small math correction. Fred is actually older than the Falcons.
Yeah, but
not by much.
But he wasn't the Falcon when he was born.
I mean, how do you know?
I may have been. I don't know. I don't remember being born, so I can't really comment.
Do you remember
on
when you got the nickname the Falcon?
No, I don't. I might have been one. I don't know.
Okay.
Back to that doctor.
I might have gotten it then and just never used it, so who knows?
I assumed it was about the time like when you started to grow into, like your beak started to grow out.
That would have been one. So
okay,
there you go.
You were born with that?
Yes. Yeah,
your poor mother. She must have been ripped to shreds.
Yeah, well, no comment on that. Rams-Bills game. Bills had this under control. Rams come back. And the big play at the end, which they were calling a controversial interference call. I'm not going to let you comment on this because you were financially invested.
Yeah.
That was interference. I don't understand why it's controversial. I thought it was interference.
Okay, so that's the play that kept getting shown, like on the highlight things. Like,
yeah.
Because it was at the end of the game. And if you want to say it's controversial... fine. I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, he didn't get suplexed. It's probably a 50-50 call. A star wide receiver is getting ridden 10 yards off the line of scrimmage by a rookie.
Well, I kept hearing, oh, you don't call that in that situation. Well, why the hell not? It's interference. Sorry.
But what they don't show on the replay shows that I didn't see once. The Rams were already gifted an extra possession on this, the most BS interception I've ever seen. I mean, if you haven't seen that play, look up Bills Rams interception.
Yeah, because it didn't make a lot of the highlights for some reason.
And then tell me if you feel like the Rams really got screwed over, because the Rams the game should have already been over by that point. And by the way, Rams fan, you are the last fan on earth who can complain about a bad pass interference
exactly.
call not going your way.
Exactly.
It literally put you in a Super Bowl. So I don't want to hear it. The Bills were the right team. It had to be more work than it should have been.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is something.
That's the thing. Josh Allen is playing at such a high level. I'm really impressed with this football team.
It's Josh Allen or Russell Wilson. One of those two guys is the MVP of the league right now.
Aaron Rodgers probably in that conversation too.
Maybe.
Dude, he's had three amazing games so far. So, we'll get to that one too. Browns beat Washington 34-20. The only good thing about this was Nick Chubb on my fantasy team. Otherwise, don't really care about this game. Titans-Vikings 31-30. And remember when...
roller coaster.
Remember when Steven Gostkowski was about to get kicked off the team for week one? Pretty damn good yesterday.
Yeah, they're going
to
let him stay around, huh?
Yeah. Dalvin Cook with a big game. Justin Jefferson with a big game for Minnesota. And Minnesota had every chance to win that game until the very end after the field goal. It was one of the biggest cluster bleeps you'll ever see with Kirk Cousins running around back there like he didn't know what he was doing.
That's some Kirk Cousins stuff.
Yeah. Patriots over the Raiders, 36-20. That's a good call on your part. And, very different looking Patriots team. Although they did this before with Brady. There were times where if they saw they could run the ball against somebody, they would do it. Pretty much what they saw yesterday is we're going to be able to run the ball against these guys.
Yeah, it took them a while to get it going. And then once they figured it out, they kind of rolled on them. But it was a close game, up until around halftime. And they started to figure it out in the second half, and the Raiders just didn't have an answer.
49ers go in and house the Giants 36-9.
This was the sharp bet of the week.
Yeah.
It was the sharp bet of the week last week was fade the 49ers against this crappy, the Jets, the Giants. The 49ers have a lot of injuries. They're still better than most of these teams.
Well, they're still good at running back, even without Mostert. They're still good on the defensive line. So they had some depth. They could afford to fade that. Giants couldn't afford to lose Saquon Barkley.
Nope.
Bengals, Eagles, 23-23. My question was, okay, after late in the game, Eagles are lining up for a 59-yard field goal. They get an illegal motion, which, I mean, how dumb is that?
Bonehead.
And they punt the ball? You've got no chance of winning the game when you do that.
I'm Hail Marian.
I'm at least, you still got an, it's like 19 seconds left. So the worst thing that happens is if you go for it, you run a quick pass to try to get out of bounds. Or you can get a first down, get down, and still have time to spike the ball.
Well,
there's plenty of things you can do there.
If I'm not mistaken, it was like 4th and 16
or
17.
It was 14, but I mean...
Like, it was a long 4th down, so it wasn't like a quick... Like, you had to really kind of go for it. But that said,
you had plenty of time.
Go for it.
If you throw the ball over the middle even and get 15 yards, you've got time to get up and spike the ball and then bring on the field goal team.
Yeah.
That's just giving up on a game right there.
I don't like that. It's saying, like, it's okay that we tied. And by the way, the Bengals go ahead and take a knee, too. Why not chuck it down there? See what happens.
And that, I mean, if you're the Eagles, I mean, I'm trying to do everything I can to win at the end of that game.
I guess maybe all the Eagles thinking is, well, we play in a division with the Redskins, who are horrible, the Cowboys, who can't get out of their own way, and the Giants, who are broken. Maybe a tie is a big deal. Maybe they win that division 7-8-1 versus 7-9 Cowboys. That could be the decider.
You can't stop Joe Burrow with 15 seconds left or 13 seconds left.
I don't know.
It's not like the Bengals were going to march you down the field and get a field goal on you.
It's not a call I ever would have made. I was shocked at it.
It's the loser mentality.
It really
is. Colts hammer the Jets. Not much to say here except I streamed the Colts defense in my fantasy league. Very smart.
Oh, very wise, yeah.
Panthers, Chargers. Panthers get a win.
Under gets a win.
Austin Eckler had a big day, also one of my fantasy guys. But, dude, they almost pulled off the hook and ladder if he makes the catch there.
Yeah, this game, that was about the exciting moment of the game.
Yeah, that was.
It was not a lot.
It was a hard watch, man.
There's not a lot of good stuff to say about it.
You know, Justin Herbert looked good at times, put up some good numbers.
He looked like a
rookie. But he also made some rookie mistakes and wasn't.
And you know what? Maybe Anthony Lynn was on to something. There's a reason he's a backup.
Yeah. Buccaneers beat the Broncos.
The Broncos are kind of flying under the radar, bad team.
Yeah, also 0-3.
I guess their starting quarterback's broken. They lost their best player the couple days before the season.
Yeah, I mean, they hung in there the first week. They should have won the game. And weren't that bad against the Steelers last week. So I think we don't really think of them as the big trash heap that the Jets are.
Yeah, they're not the Jets. The Jets are the worst team. We agree on that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't think it's close.
I don't really think it's that close. I think, well, the football team might be close. But I still think the Jets are the worst team.
I don't know. The football team has a win over
They've got a win.
Eagles.
Yeah.
But playoff-bound Eagles.
But I'll still say the Washington football team is the second worst team.
Yeah, they seem like they're pretty bad. Lions go in and beat the Cardinals 26-23.
Lions, who were, honestly, they were in the conversation for worst team with the Jets there. And then look at them getting a win.
And, you know, this is the first week where I've got off betting the Lions. And, of course, they win. Kind of like the, I mean, it's just, but Kyler Murray did not have the game you were hoping for. Adrian Peterson was huge for the Lions, and ho-hum, DeAndre Hopkins, 10 catches, 137 yards.
Crazy.
Seahawks, Cowboys, which featured two of the biggest boneheaded plays that I think I've seen in a while. Tony Pollard on the kickoff, and then DK Metcalf on the, slow down.
Well, and also, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with it. Have we heard anything about the dude gator rolling Chris Carson's leg? Is he suspended? There's got
to
be.
Yeah, there's got to be something to that.
That's just a dirty play.
Yeah.
There's no, like, oh, maybe Tristan Hill, that's who it was, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
that's a garbage play on a dude, man. That's got to be a suspension.
Russell Wilson, amazing again. And 5 touchdowns. Twice now he's got 5 touchdowns in a game this year.
Yeah.
Playing out of his mind. And Seahawks win it.
14 touchdowns. One interception
in three
and
games.
And the one interception was literally like bounced out of his receiver's hands.
Yeah.
And back, like backwards to a player who was just standing like surprised that the ball hit him.
And Cowboys do what they do, which is lose to playoff teams.
Yes.
Packers, Saints last night. Damn good.
By the way, well, you didn't mention this stat on Russell Wilson. His 13 incompletions more than doubled more than doubled his season output. He was at 7. Now he's at 20. So just through two games, he had 7 incompletions. Now he's got 20. So pretty terrible.
Yeah, he's playing at an incredible level, as is Aaron Rodgers, who goes in last night. And not huge numbers, but very efficient numbers. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. They ran the ball okay, but mostly it was Rodgers. And they beat the Saints 37-30. And not a great weekend if you're a fan of, say, the Saints and LSU.
No.
And a pretty rough weekend.
No, not
but,
good.
But I think the Packers are kind of the team that I'm looking at. Saying, man, they're way better than I thought they were going to be.
Oh, for sure, because Rodgers is way better than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, and he's had 3 really strong games so far, and that was my best bet of the weekend was Packer +3, and then I got it at 3.5, and damn near threw a party. Space Ghost says Breeze is dead. Well, his arm certainly is not what it used to be.
No, it's terrible.
So.
Honestly, they still had a chance to win somehow.
Like, yeah, they did.
If they don't try to get cute with Taysom Hill, they probably win that game.
And boy, that spot that they fortunately overturned and the Saints didn't take advantage of it. I'm just watching that going, what the hell, guys?
You know what? It didn't end up mattering in the Texans game. The 2-point conversion, they said they reviewed it. And I didn't get to see like a slow motion replay of it, but in real time, and I went back and I rewound it and watched it again. And I mean, I'll watch it on the film and it'll maybe give me a better idea because you could see, like, you've got more control over how you watch that game film. I don't think he caught that 2-point conversion. I don't think that's a catch. And they just kind of like, oh, well, caught it, threw their arms up. And then I was like, wait a minute. That could be a big moment here because at that point, the Texans weren't the game wasn't over.
Right.
And they came back and they were like, well, they took a look at that 2-point conversion and, yep, it's good. So, well, show us. It's very, very odd. Like they were in a hurry to get to commercial break.
Rappaport tweeted out this morning, nothing official yet that I've seen, but he tweeted out that Tristan Hill is probably going to be fine but probably won't be suspended.
Dude, that's dirty, man.
Yeah,
that's
cheap.
It's garbage stuff, and he's getting it from all angles, from like other NFL players, because you know, a former Cowboy Marcus Spears said, "Hey, we all want to win, but between players, there's a code, and he broke the code, and that's a bull bleep play, which it was." So I hope he's all right because that's
his is a knee sprain.
Yeah,
he came back this morning.
Well, I'm sure he'll practice minimally this week and hopefully he'll be fine. The Seahawks have enough injury problems. They don't need people trying to hurt them on purpose.
He's lucky it didn't dislocate completely.
Yeah, they've gotten plenty good at hurting themselves without you doing it intentionally.
Okay, that warrants a suspension in my opinion. And the big thing for the Cowboys is that, you know, Zeke Elliott with 34 yards, you're having to count on Dak to win the game for you. That's it's not going to happen against Seattle. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number.
There's actually people trying to say that that Bills-Rams interception was an interception.
Okay.
All right. Maybe it's my first time watching football.
It is. It is.
It's all new to me.
Or maybe you were just drunk. There's that.
Yeah, the more, you know, I guess I didn't, I mean, I knew Aaron Rodgers had been good. His numbers just aren't as wowing as Josh and Russ's are. But zero interceptions, I mean, he's been really, really good. All three of those guys playing on 3-0 teams.
Yeah.
Putting up big numbers.
Yeah, I mean, and again, if we're...
And I mentioned Russ's one interception was that joke interception. Josh Allen also one interception. The phony-ass interception against the Rams. I mean, between the three of them, they've had zero real interceptions thrown this year.
Rodgers on the season, 887 yards, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 90.2 QBR. He's been he's been over that elite level in all three games that we talked about last week with Deshaun. His QBR has been his worst one of the season last night, AJ, 87.5. And 90 against Detroit, 92.2 against Minnesota. So pretty impressive what he's doing right now, but, you know, it's only three. People keep asking if I have any feel on the hockey. I don't. I'm going to do what I did the other night, and it didn't work the other night, so it won't work tonight. But if Tampa scores first, I'll play the in-game over. And if Dallas scores first, I'll play the in-game under. See if it works this time. Somebody asks, if you're going to sign Earl Thomas, why not sign Antonio Brown? What does one have to do with the other? I don't get it. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
We go to off the coast of Australia and New Zealand.
Oi, oi, oi.
Where a group was out on a boat and saw a shark fin in the water.
Okay.
Now, what would you do if you saw a shark fin in the water? Probably not going to jump in and swim with it,
no,
right?
No, I would just not get out of the boat.
Well, now, in all fairness, this guy thought it was what's called a basking shark, which is often described as a gentle giant and kind of like, you know, people will jump in and swim with them. They're the second largest fish and can be spotted, you know, all over that area. But they don't eat, they're harmless to humans. They eat zooplankton, whatever that is. Well, he jumped out into the water and realized it wasn't the shark they thought it was. Soon after the guy goes in, his friend says that was a bad idea.
Or, they think it was like a nurse shark or something?
It turns out that it was a, it's unknown what type of shark it was, but it was not a basking shark.
Yeah, not a friendly shark.
Yeah.
Nurse sharks, I don't think, even are dangerous to humans.
I don't think they are.
No. They're the ones that, like, suck off the
that's food what I'm saying. Floor. Like, yeah. he thought it was that, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, he thought it was the basking shark.
Yeah.
Which,
no.
Soon after jumping in, the guy says, this was a bad idea, and starts swimming back to the boat.
Yeah, this is why.
Not wise, guys.
I know there's people who are like, oh, well, there's good snakes and bad snakes. I'll never know. Because I'm not looking to make that mistake.
Because one of those good snakes might be a bad snake.
Yeah, I don't know. Like what? They're like, oh well, he would have this coloring. Well, what if nature decided to make him like an albino, so his coloring's off?
Why do
I'm
I
never going to get close enough to find out what the coloring really is?
Exactly.
Not bothering.
It's funny. This friend casually shouts to him, "That's not a basking shark, dude." Yeah, I think he figured that out when he jumped in. And that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Yeah, the last encounter I had with a snake was a couple years ago. We were camping near Beaumont. And I'm sitting in my chair under the water with a beer, just chilling. Friggin' water moccasin goes right over my foot.
Yeah.
And I freaked out. Val's like, oh, it's no big deal. I'm like, yeah, it is. Those things are poisonous and they're aggressive. And what the hell's he doing going right over my foot? And fortunately, I was just drunk enough that I didn't realize it until he was already in the water. But yeah, I jumped about 10 feet after that. So
saw one while I was walking my dog last week.
Yeah.
About 2.5 feet, and I went to take a picture, and then apparently the baby snake was hiding near it. It went off in the, like, in the high weeds that I couldn't see. And as I got a little bit closer on the bridge, all of a sudden I see this moving through the grass, and I freaked and ran. Because I didn't know what it was until I saw it go in the water, but I'm not messing with a mom snake and a baby.
I mean, I'm not messing with any snake. Them water moccasins, I got no use for. I really don't. They're nasty. I know it's a heavy sports day, but how good was the boys on Friday? This was the best episode yet by far. Right when I was kind of like, I was telling Roger this Saturday, it's like, man, I'm kind of losing interest. It's like, you've seen the first two. Episode 3, the ending of it was pretty good. 4 was really good. 5 sucked. 6 was fantastic.
I heard someone else saying that the whole show is just this brilliant show.
I think part of my problem with it is because it didn't drop at once. Like, I'm having to wait a week after an awful show. Like, I think last week's was awful. I mean, it was just, it was boring. It was about relationships. It was just, eh. But this week's made up for it. So there's only 2 episodes left. And then you'll have to binge it.
All right.
So, and I don't know if you heard Tyler's joke out there.
I did not.
And the Texans are interested in Earl Thomas because he's not afraid to double team.
Oh, that's true. That's true. How'd your wife's girlfriends, though?
Yeah. Yeah, from him and his brother. and he's trying to make a point that, well, Antonio Brown's a head case and Earl Thomas is a head case. I don't think Earl Thomas is in Antonio Brown's class as a head case. But, you know. Yeah, I don't. I still don't see what the correlation there is. All right, guys. If you want to get in on the game tonight, we were mentioning that 3.5 is your number. Chiefs on MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. Looking at it right now. There's all kinds of stuff you can do there. And if you're going to play that hockey bet, same thing, man. It's in game. They've got live betting. All of those things work. All the plays I made this weekend were on MyBookie. And guess what? You think the Astros are going to be able to upset the Twins? You can bet it on MyBookie. And it's easy. When you win, they pay. And that's a problem with a lot of sites. It's not with MyBookie. Not only they pay fast. And now's the time to ditch your bookie and go with MyBookie.ag. Easy deposits and withdrawals. Tons of options to get in on the action. And if you sign up today, MyBookie's going to match your first deposit 100%. Just enter promo code radio when you sign up. That's promo code radio. And whatever you're into, whatever sport you got, if you're a baseball guy, they got you covered on baseball. Last chance on the hockey maybe tonight and the NBA final start. You can jump in on that too. MyBookie.ag. You bet you win, they pay. MyBookie. Big Barone, swear the lane, I be hogging. Big Barone, lift up the cookie, musty,
yes, foggy. Cookie wall, I can. ESPN. 97.5.